They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's an up day for stock markets so far, plus a Trump budget is on the way, and a reminder that Jerome Powell isn't just the most powerful financial policy official in the country. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Politics is in large part about how to apportion resources. President Trump's budget proposal is due today, and it relies on states, cities, and regions to do the lion's share of fixing bridges, roads, water systems, and other infrastructure. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
President Trump's infrastructure plan is expected to focus on new projects. That could be helpful, says Mark Scribner of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, but may not get funds where they are most needed.
Infrastructure problems tend to be as a result of a lack of maintenance. So we have a problem of public officials not being able to find the funds, so they say, to maintain what they have right now.
The plan is to leverage billions in federal funds to spur more than $1 trillion in local and private investment. Megan Mattson is with Table Rock Infrastructure Partners, a private equity group that focuses on public infrastructure.
It's a little tough in this environment with the tax bill going first and the significant, you know, impact on deficit that has. Seems like it would put a squeeze on the spending associated with the infrastructure plan.
One upside? Infrastructure spending does tend to have bipartisan support. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Let's check the financial markets. Today, the wild ride on markets is upward, at least in Europe. The key stock index in London is up 1.3%, Frankfurt up 1.8%, Paris up 1.5%. Hong Kong was up 1.3% overnight, but Tokyo closed for a holiday. For the U.S. Dow, S&P and NASDAQ futures are each up about 1.1%. Now, the flu epidemic is still raging. Hospitalizations are the highest since the CDC started tracking it this way in 2010. This is taking a toll on hospitals, but on schools, nursing homes, families, and some businesses are feeling it as well. Marketplace's Rima Krace is tracking this.
Dan Turner is president of TCG, an IT consulting firm. Since flu season began in October, roughly 30 of his 140 employees have called in sick. And this is what he tells them.
Rest and get lots of fluids, and did you remember to get your flu shot? And hopefully they did, because we actually paid for them to get the flu shots.
This flu season could cost companies more than $15.4 billion in lost productivity. That's according to Challenger, Gray & Christmas, an employment consulting firm. Even so, Turner's response is what it should be, says Ellen Kosick, a management professor at Purdue University.
Americans are notorious for not using all of their vacation and sick time, and it's just not a great culture if you make people feel like they have to work when they're sick.
And for the employees who don't have paid sick leave and try to tough it out,
they then run sort of a double whammy that they can't pay the rent or pay their bills, and they really can't stay home as long as they need to fully recover.
So she says they'll often go back to work earlier than they should and sometimes get other people sick. I'm Rima Krace for Marketplace.
Formal economic data suggests the U.S. economy is heating up to the point that policymakers will tap the brakes by raising interest rates 3 or 4 times this year. What happens next depends in large part on what Jerome Powell, the brand new head of the Federal Reserve, is thinking. He may be the single most important economic policy official in the country, if not the world. He's not doing one-on-one interviews with the media these days, but we figured out another way to get the views of Jay, or Jerome Powell, on the economy.
Definitely, you know, things are getting more expensive. and jobs are definitely not paying with the skill set provides anymore.
That is Jerome Powell, who's 35 and works not at the Fed, but at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. Even though he does computers, he works in IT, he's getting a lot of questions about the economy these days.
Yeah, oh, God. So immediately when they first nominated the guy, my buddy's like tagging me in it like, Jerome, didn't know he was going to work for Trump. Didn't know he was going to be like, work for economists.
We also talked to Jay Powell, 41, who lives in Boone, North Carolina. He does business consulting for the video game industry.
I mean, I just don't feel from a job market perspective, we're back enough on solid ground. You know, I still have a lot of friends of mine, some highly educated, some highly talented, and they're having tough times getting jobs. To me, it's one of those, I would rather have, you know, that extra money going, you know, somewhere else instead of, you know, raising interest rates.
Staying with interest rates, here's Jerome Powell in Chicago. He's a 47-year-old automotive sales manager.
People are still buying, but they are complaining at the, I guess because they're so used to seeing 1%, 2%. Now the rates are going up 3 and 4%. It's a little shocker to them.
I'm still looking over my shoulder at the superheated stock market and actually even twisting around now on the stock market because some of the things that were put in place, the Dodd-Frank and all these other attempts at protections, which weren't even enough. And I think it's just leaving us vulnerable to yet another disaster.
That's San Diego Jay Powell, 72, who works on bringing solar power to low to middle income people. Meanwhile, in Nashville, Jerome Powell, 34, is a pharmacy technician. And to make ends meet, he's a part-time bartender.
Most of them, I do know that someone like me, they work almost 7 days a week without an off day. So it's no time for your kids. I couldn't handle interest rates going up any higher than what they are right now on anything. My car, don't own a house. I'm not buying a house at the moment. But if I did, I wouldn't want my interest rate to go up on that.
Wait, and here is a Jerome Powell in D.C.
So we're tasked by Congress with keeping inflation low and keeping the economy near full employment. And we have really one tool to do that, and that is by keeping short-term interest rates either higher or lower. That's what we can do.
That last voice is the guy who is now head of the Federal Reserve. That clip is from just under a year ago when Powell spoke to Marketplace when he was on the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors. The 10-year bond yield this morning is up at 2.88%, in part on anticipation that Jerome Powell and his team are inclined toward higher rates. Marketplace producer Katie Long was in charge of tracking down all those other Jerome or Jay Powells who, since they live in the real economy, also have very relevant views, I think, on its condition. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.